Welcome to Uncurated Podcast, a show for visual artists and designers to share their experiences and learn from each other. I am your host, Kelly. On this podcast, you can expect interviews from extremely talented visual artists, designers, as well as engaging conversations about art and the creative industry, especially in Africa. Today's interview is a multi-talented Kenyan artist that does 3D art, VFX, and is a game designer. Enjoy. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Can you see my name on the screen?
I keep watching jokes.
That's under Jaribu. Okay. My name is Echaminya, or Echa. Or H. My full name is Echaminya Mbarani.
Mm-hmm. And is that, are you Kenyan?
So actually, I changed my accent, so I'm just actually speaking like a Kenyan.
No, like, because I don't know what tribe your name is from.
Yeah, I'm from the US. I actually started talking like a Kenyan just so people thought that I'm a Kenyan.
Do you know how much work you're giving me to edit?
Sorry. Okay, yes, I am Kenyan. Let's stop there.
Okay, no, like, your name is unique. So that's why I was like, I don't know, it doesn't sound like any tribe I know.
Oh, yeah, I get that a lot. Some people say I'm from Nigeria. I get Nigeria the most. I had Chad for the first time last week in church. Mm-hmm. Some people thought I was from Chad. Mm-hmm. Some people think I'm from Congo, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambezi. But it's Kenyan. I'm a Kenyan.
Interesting. It sounds like you enjoy the guesswork. You enjoy people guessing, like, where is he from?
Yeah. Yeah, nowadays I do. I used to hate it, but I turned it to something that I made it more enjoyable. Yeah, mm-hmm. I turned it to something that I enjoy. So by asking the questions, getting to know how people think, where people think I'm from. So, but initially it was frustrating because everyone used to ask, they can't just introduce my name once and it's over and done with. Like, people always used to ask. So, but nowadays I have fun with it. So I get to know people more and it's hard to forget my name.
Yeah,
you can go on and on. So,
okay, yeah, interesting. Kenyan. So, from what I know that you're mm-hmm. a game designer, a VFX artist, and a 3D mm-hmm. artist. Mm-hmm. In your design career, am I missing anything?
My design career, I don't think you've missed anything. You've okay. said, but I'm also a Photoshopper, if that counts. Yeah, you've said anything. Visual artist, 3D artist,
mm-hmm.
game developer, you've said everything. Yes.
Okay. So do all those, like, careers, are they interchangeable? Like, do they influence each other or are they, like, separate, like, job description type things for you? Like, as in, is it, like, a different job for you to be, like, a game designer and then you go to VFX, or do those in, like, industries kind of, like, mix together when you're working?
So the, how do I call it? The graphics industry, do you say that? Mm. That industry, that whole graphics, 3D, the CGI, computer graphics industry.
Yeah.
It's huge. So you can decide to specialize, you can be a specialist or you can be a generalist. So, for example, if you look at a movie or a movie has many components to it, or a game has many components to it. So it's a collaboration of, for instance, a game or a movie. Let's say a movie. You have animators who create movements. You have 3D character designers who create the characters. You have riggers who actually apply bones to the characters so that the characters will move. You have environment designers, you have the directors, you have the producers, you have the visual effects artists, You have compositors, you have. So, if you're in an industry, you can actually decide to specialize. So, for example, a 3D character artist, that's a specialist. You specialize in one. You can decide to be that completely. Okay. You can be, if you're working especially in a large studio, a gaming studio or a movie studio. Okay. So, you can also be a generalist where you know a little bit of everything and you are an independent developer. So, like for example, me, I have my own game and which I want to create a series from, like a gaming series, like sequels. So for that, I pretty much know a little bit of everything, and that helps because I'm the 3D character artist, I'm the coder, the programmer, that is, I'm the environment designer, I'm the scriptwriter. So you see, I'm everything there. So because it's an indie game, that's a term, indie developers, or in that it's short for individual developers. So you can be everything, you see, but you can also work in a studio where you're just specializing in something. So to cut the long story short, yeah, yes, they can be interchangeable because you can jump from, even if you're in a studio, you can jump from one department to another, or maybe you can work on two skills. You can have two skills that enable you to work in two departments. You can be a specialist, or you can be like me, for example, knowing a little bit of everything and then developing your own whole game, holistic game. And of course, yeah, just like you said, they pretty much work together. So like for me, I have to know how to create the character so that because without the character, who do you call him? The protagonist. There's no protagonist. Okay. I have to know a little bit of animation so that I can add movement to the character. So you see, like I have to have different skill sets that can work together to be able to make the game work. And also, like I work with sometimes people contact me, different clients. So because of those multiple skill sets, they help me not be, how do I say, not be limited to the clients they can help. So we could have a client for in just working a game development industry. So they might need character design, they'll still approach me. If they need visual effects, they'll still approach me. If they need coding, they'll still approach me. You see, it gives me a broad range of opportunities. But it's also good to be a specialist because the more you specialize, the more proficient to become in that area of specialization. So, and that's what I'm working on. I'm working mainly on the development side of myself because I really want to, that's the bulk of game development. So I'm working on my coding skills right now.
Yeah, I think you just gave us like a gaming design 101 class
Oh.
in like 5 minutes. And yeah, you
Nice.
answered the question. You're a generalist. So yeah, that's, I think basically that's what I was asking.
Oh,
Speaking of
okay.
game design, I know that you have 3 games. Yeah. So tell us about your 3 games. What are they called, and are they available in both iOS and Android?
Oh, okay. So I have Chamama and Chababa. Oh, just kidding. No, I have Alleluia. That's one. I Alleluia 1. And then there's Alleluia 2D. And then I have Lion King Trivia. So all of them are on the Google Play Store. So Apple users, sorry for now. But the plans are to take them to Apple this year and also. Especially Alleluia. I actually want to focus more on Alleluia. That's the series I'm working on. Then I want to take it to App Store and Steam, and possibly, hey, possibly, well, you need the Luya in me. Yeah. So possibly, what Steam? They haven't said Steam. Oh yes. Then Epic Games, it's Epic Game Store, and then. In future, who knows? Maybe PS5, Those are the things. Those are future plans, though. Those are far, in the far distant future. Maybe in 3 years, maybe in two, who knows? Maybe. But for now, the immediate goal is to put it on App Store this year at least, and Steam and Epic Game Store. Those are the three platforms I'm focusing on currently. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice, nice. Good to have plans. So, is game design your primary source of income?
Not yet, but that's the plan. So, right now, the primary source of income is 3D art, 3D digital art. So, like 3D character art, to be specific. So, that's actually what's my primary source of income. But you remember I told you at the beginning, I'm currently developing my coding skills. I'm stepping up. So yeah, I'm actually taking classes so that I can transition, so that my primary source of income becomes game development and not 3D art. So I want 3D art to be something like that's more on the side, and I want to use it for, you know, at maybe probably art competitions or evangelistic purposes. Yeah, but I want game development because gaming is quite good if you can do it as a profession, like if it becomes your main source of income. And like if you look at the industries, if you follow tech industries, movies, showbiz, they say gaming is like the revenue of gaming worldwide is more than movies and music combined. So, and players, wow. We have millions and millions of players. Yeah. So if you can tap into that, yeah. So that's the reason I want to transition. But at the moment, as I'm working on my skills, still working on my game development skills, yeah, of course you have to pay the bills. So 3D art, digital art, specifically 3D character design, that's what puts food on my table. Yeah.
Okay. So how do you get these clients for your 3D art?
So I started on Fiverr. Fiverr, if maybe you might have heard of it, or Upwork.
Yes.
But
yes.
I don't use Upwork, I use Fiverr. So I started as a generalist, animation software. Like I started studying animation softwares and simulations and everything that animation thing can do. Anything that you see in movies, animations, those things, environment design, simulation, character design, props design. Back in the day, I used to look at them like, how do these people do this thing? And it's a funny story, by the way, because I was just in a computer lab in uni one day on a lunch break, and then stumbled upon a software that those designers said on the website that you could actually create your own small movie. And okay, I didn't believe it at first, but then I downloaded it and so this is possible. Okay, so then I started testing it out for myself. And then, yeah, that's how I started, just learning slowly by slowly. And of course, it's not by chance. I don't believe in chances. That was God. So, yeah, so the more I delved into it, the more I sort of specialized into character design. And then, yeah, I thought of how to make money with it, because for me, the idea of being employed wasn't, okay, it's not bad. If you have an 8-to-5 job and you're listening to this, go for it. It's cool. It's cool. I'm not against 8-to-5 jobs, but that's just not for me. So I started thinking, okay, how can I make money with this thing? Because it looks legit and you can actually make money. It's something serious. So I looked into Fiverr, and I started searching on how I can do work remotely for clients, not even for clients, for companies. So way before even COVID was a thing, years ago, like I used to search on whether remote jobs are available. So there were a few. Right now, COVID actually made them just explode. But at that time, there were a few, and I think it was really hard to get in. So because of that, I started looking at sites where I can look for work or clients as a client-based work. And then that's how I stumbled upon Fiverr. So Fiverr, actually, this is interesting. Fiverr, there's a meeting I had with a friend who introduced me to Fiverr. So what? And it was such a short meeting. So it's like, if I didn't meet with that person, probably I wouldn't have been here right now. Anyway, so yeah, he showed me about Fiverr. Upwork, I got to know about Upwork a bit later. No, I knew Upwork earlier, but he showed me Fiverr later. Yeah, so that's how I knew Fiverr. And then I started doing a few gigs here and there. And then once I started building my portfolio, more people started coming in, more clients, of course, with more clients, more reviews. And then, yeah, and with more reviews and more clients, more skills build up. And then it became better and better and better in character design. But I started, even on Fiverr, I started as a generalist. I was doing animations, I was doing simulations, I was doing environment and prop design. But then I decided to specialize on character design. And then, yeah, because I even used to love drawing characters when I was a kid. I still have my drawing books. And then like Dexter, Cartoon Network, I used to pose Cartoon Network. Of course, you can't pose TV, but I used to record them on tapes and then rewatch them, then pose, and then draw. So anyway, that's from way back. So yeah, my platform grew on Fiverr, and then I also decided to diversify just to look for more clients elsewhere. So I looked into Facebook groups, and then I found more clients as well. So I have both clients. I have clients from both Facebook and Fiverr. And sometimes ArtStation, but not really much. So mainly Facebook and Fiverr are my platforms. Yeah, so that's where I am up to now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, thank you. That will help some of us out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so for someone who wants to get into a similar career path that you mm-hmm. are right now, what are some online resources that you can recommend?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are we talking about game development or are we talking about 3D character art?
I guess we can talk about both. Like, where did you primarily go to learn these things? Were they paid courses? Were they free courses?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, 3D character art, let's start with that. You can actually be self-taught. You don't have to go to school. Let me not say this something. Okay, let me say self-taught in quotes, because self-taught doesn't exist, because when you're watching a tutorial, someone is teaching you actually. So yeah, so self-taught in quotes. So you can actually learn by yourself. All you need is, I'm talking about 3D character art. All you need is a laptop or a computer, download the software online. There are multiple, oh, thank God for technology nowadays. There's lots of software online that you can download that's available for free. And there are lots of tutorials to get you started. So just download software. You can just Google, how do I create animation? Okay, our animation softwares. Okay, start from there. And then once you download the animation software, or after you've of course typed how to download or something, okay, start how to Google again, or go to YouTube. How do I create, let's say, animation software for beginners? Like, let's say, for example, there's a software called Maya or Blender. So just go to YouTube or Google, Blender for beginners, starting Maya for dummies. So There's lots of tutorials online that can help you get started. As long as you have a laptop and a good internet connection, you're good to go. Now, here's the catch. It's not for the faint of heart. So, because some people, I've actually told some people, okay, I do work that's online based. And then they're like, oh, I actually want to do that as well. You know, how do you do that? Because they think it's as easy as, you know, first of all, the first thing that comes to people's mind when I tell them I do work that's online based, the first thing that comes to their mind is online writing. And almost everyone can do that. And then they usually so surprised when I tell them, no, I don't do online writing. I tell them, I do 3D character art. Then they're like, what's that? So I have to explain again. Okay. So, and then they ask me, okay, so how do I get started? Yeah, I'll tell them the basics that I've just told you. But then when they actually get to look at what's involved, because away. This one, I think it's going to take time because, yeah, truth be told, it takes time to learn. It's not something you can just start doing overnight. Yeah, so, but it's doable. It's doable, especially for the 3D character art. It took a whole, okay, for me, like, to be able to learn those softwares and I'm not disputing the fact that someone doesn't have to go to school. You don't actually have to go to school. Yeah, to be able, because the tutorials themselves are your school, you see. But for me, I think it was better for me and quite aligned for me, and I think a God-given path for me, because even when I was in uni, first of all, I studied IT. I did BBIT in uni, Strath. So, and that was a four-year course. And with that, you know, BBIT and computers are like, one and the same thing. So we learned systems, we learned graphic software, although we just have some units about, you know, graphic software. We didn't have much. So you, I can say uni is sort of like a general foundation or a springboard, if you can say so, that enabled me to be able to learn these things faster. Let me say so, or understand this concept much easier. You see, so I'm not saying you can't understand the concepts, but it made it much easier for me, you see. And I took, within those 4 years, that's the time I actually took advantage to learn these things and watch these tutorials and all of which, actually, because I was learning IT concepts in school and in class, it made it much easier for me to learn these things. You see, even though we were not being taught in class, it was able to make these things easier for me to learn in my free time. Yeah. So, yeah. So I used to learn from tutorials during breaks, sometimes during holidays, sometimes weekends. Yeah, just looking at the tutorials and all that. And then even after uni, I continued honing those skills. So and that's 3D character art. So like by the time I had finished uni, like 2 years after uni, at least I was able to now start getting my own clients. But it's still doable, only that it's better like if you're in uni. But right now, okay, even in uni, the tutorials aren't that many. Right now, there are a lot of tutorials. So yeah, if you feel like this is for you, you go for it. You don't want to discourage anyone because you might even actually learn faster than I did, yeah? So I was talking about
YouTube. Mostly you learned from YouTube.
Yeah, through YouTube and some PDFs, some PDFs. Remember I told you again, I'm stepping up in my game development skills.
Yeah.
So the technology I'm learning right now, the tutorials aren't available as much, mm-hmm. but they're actual PDFs that people have written, research documents. There are a few online courses that take you through. So I actually have to read. So probably the content will be there in future a lot, but right now it's not there. So I have to read. You have no option. You have no way out.
That is some hardcore dedication, my friend. Hardcore Dedication.
Esikia pasipo body hubidi. Yeah. Itabidi, itabidi. Utadu?
Wow.
You have to.
Let's go to the next question.
Okay. Oh, I didn't finish there. I talked about character art, digital art. So, okay. But for game development, okay, you can still, I think you can still go through the tutorials. But school, I can really say for like the 4 years of school, because my unit was, majority of it, my course was programming based. That was the meat of my 4 year degree course. So it really helped a lot in learning game development. So even if I watch tutorials now, I know the concepts. But you still can. Let me just say, you still can. At least nowadays, there's a lot of tutorials.
Yeah.
But I think all you need, let me say, the laptop, the software, and the dedication. That if you have those three,
hardcore dedication, not just any dedication.
You have to have the grace.
Yes, to read instructions.
Yeah, you do.
Oh my god. Okay, so what? The most exciting project that you have worked on so far?
I'd have to say all of them are exciting. No, the most, that's a hard one.
Like, the which one exciting is your favorite?
The one I love to play more, or?
No, the one you enjoyed creating the most.
I enjoyed creating all. But, okay, let me say this. For they all have their strengths in the way in which they excite me. So, Alleluia, one. Okay, my worst, let me start with my worst. Bad news first before the good news. My worst was Alleluia 2D because, whoa, I'll never forget that experience. I used to go nights without sleeping. I think that's the game that made me have my first transnighting experience for 60 hours consecutively. So I went for 60 hours without sleeping. 60 hours. That's the one time that I've done that because I was developing that game. 60 hours without sleeping. So.
What?
Yeah, there's a time I did that in that game. Wow. Hey. And it used to stress me out because there were some things that weren't working. And then I don't have a community to help me out. And then, hey, that game was rough. That game was rough. That time, that was a rough time. So when I finished the game, it's still, like up to now, I think it still have the least number of downloads I've ever gotten. Imagine all that work. And no download, you can imagine. And I sacrificed, but I sacrificed a few months, I think 2 months. I told myself, it really made me have a learning experience. Hey, I learned a lot through that experience. It told me like, so I sacrificed, I sacrificed 2 months of not looking for clients so that, you know, I developed this game, you know, so that it'll give me the returns. And then I'll continue with it, you know, like putting my eggs in one basket. That's the route. Yeah. Like risk, rojua, akuna, like kana kubaya, kubaya, kamba.
You were all in.
I was all in. Where? And then only to find out that it doesn't give me downloads, and I've sacrificed 2 months of not looking for work. So I didn't even now have money. So the whole landlord and a puja kuitisha pesa. And I haven't been looking for clients, so I haven't been working. I've only been working on the game, and I don't have money for rent now for 2 months because I was expecting this game to pay off, and it hasn't. Hey, so the landlord is on my neck. Where? Money for food in the hotel, I do not have. Why? Hey, I'll never do that again. It made me learn how to balance business and whatever, and work, like the work I'm doing and future business growth, and not to put all my eggs in one basket. and how to, like right now, like if I want to transition, there's something called phase changeover strategy. So you transition slowly while you're still doing something on the side, but you're transitioning by building something else on the side as you work. So I learned a lot. So let's just say that was my worst giving experience, but I learned a lot. I think I'm actually thankful for that one because it's out of the hardest trials that, you know, you get to grow the most. So yeah, I grew a lot from that one. So that was Alleluia 2D. If you want it, yeah. You can still play it.
That's wild. Hey, yeah. Okay. So what was the best?
So my best, I loved Alleluia because the first one that I made, first of all, it didn't take me like too much stress like the first one, like the second one, I mean, because I developed it when I was still living with my parents. So at least, no pressure. You can develop a game, you can try out new things. You don't have to, you know, make money, institute for rent or what. So I did it with a very, though it was still tough, but I did it with a more relaxed mind. And then, yeah, the response was crazy. I did not expect that. I did not see that coming. The response was, so the first time I created it, I put it on App Store and then I marketed it a bit on Facebook. The next day I saw, I think, 10 downloads. Okay, not bad, because it's my first shipped project. So that's really good. I was actually happy. Okay. 3 days after that, not even 3 days, I think 2 days after that, 1,000 downloads. Allah. And then a friend of mine texted me and then showed me the game. I think it was there Twitter that time? Yeah, Twitter was there. But he showed me something else. I don't know what he showed me. He showed me a screenshot, yeah, of the game. And then he asked, what? Wait, who knew that? Because it shows the name of the developer app. And I was like, hey, Dimimi, Kwani. Hey, and I don't know, get what the game, because what? Okay.
Nice.
So people are downloading. Hey, people are downloading. How it came out of the newspapers.
So, oh.
And then someone from People Daily called me and then wanted to have an interview with me, and we did. Yeah, and I still have the newspaper where Nili appear, because that's the one and only time I've ever appeared on the newspapers. So, hey, that was a really good experience, especially being my first game. Mm-hmm. And a game, like, it's something that I didn't expect to happen. I was just putting a game online for a few people to download and play. So, or, you know, friends and family.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a really interesting experience. Yeah. And so the reason I loved Alleluia was, yeah, of course, first it was my own, it's my own original design. Okay, from God, I believe it's inspired by God, but it's original. And then it's not copied from anywhere. It's all original. So, and the reception, I really love the reception a lot. It's something I didn't expect, and the humor in it. So that's actually why, those are actually the reasons why I want to continue developing more series out of it. Yeah, but first I need to step up my game development skills, which is what I'm doing now. The other one I developed last year it's called Lion King Trivia. Now, with that, that's the one that I've gotten the most downloads ever. I think it's a 10K downloads. Alleluia was 5K downloads. This one got 10K downloads. And it always shows up on the, like, among the top 300. If you look at, sometimes it's not there, sometimes it's there. If you look at the Play Store top charts of trivia games, so my game pops in there once in a while. So Lion King Trivia. One of the reasons I love developing it is it's not that hard to develop, first of all. I haven't even done any marketing, zero marketing, yet it's a 10K download and still rising. So it really, I've also learned a lot from it. And another reason I like it is because I'm a fan of The Lion King. So I can't run out of ideas as I continue developing it, because I won't stop developing it as well. I'll continue adding features, questions. So I love it because of the downloads and the reception as well, with zero marketing. And because for Alleluia, I spent, I think, 1,000 on marketing. But this one, zero. Spent zero shillings on marketing, and it's still rising. And on top of that, they're really, because it's easy, it was easy to develop, I'm using different tools to develop it. So because it's easy to develop, I can learn things faster in terms of marketing, in terms of feature development. I get to learn those things faster in a way that will enable me to know things and strategies that I can implement to Alleluia. So you see, as I'm continuing to develop Lion King Trivia, which is not taking me much time to develop or add features, I get to know receptions and things like that. So it's like a lab rat that I'm using for the purposes of Alleluia. Because Alleluia definitely takes more time, because it's a more original game, and it's using a heavier game engine and let me say tougher programming languages. So yeah, that one definitely takes time. But as I'm continuing to develop Lion King Trivia, I'll implement those things in Alleluia slowly. So by the time I've implemented some of the things I've learned, or some of the lessons I've learned from Lion King Trivia in Alleluia, oh, Alleluia is going to be huge. Trust me on that one. So yeah, but everything takes time. So pole pole, patience. So yeah, that's actually why I like both. The two are actually running concurrently, and I'm learning a lot from both sides. One is original, one is not really original per se. It's okay, the game is original, but of course it's a copyright. This game is Lion King. I didn't create the Lion King. But I'm learning a lot from it. Yeah. So, and yeah, those are the reasons I like both.
Yeah. That's so genius. Like having one game that's not too tasking, that's like teaching you skills that you can use in your more original game. I feel like that's a really genius thing. And plus, congratulations, like over 10,000 downloads, wow, with no marketing. That is some boss moves.
Any Mungu.
To anyone who wants to download the game, I'm going to put links on the description, and you can go and check out both games and download and leave reviews and rate 5 stars. Is it like 5 stars or 10 stars? Like just the most stars you can give. Yeah. So.
6 out of 5.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so where can people reach out to you, maybe for like advice or for a job or just to interact with you?
Okay, so you can reach out to me on Instagram at Echaminya. I don't know if you heard that correctly. Let me repeat. At Echaminya, Echaminya. NYA at Echaminya. I don't think I'll change that handle anytime soon. You can go to Alleluia. Follow Alleluia at Alleluia on Instagram. That's where I put my gaming content. I've paused for a while until I top up my skills, but I'll resume. But if you want to find me on Instagram, yeah, that's how you do. What else? At Superstatues, but that's my other 3D channel, 3D art channel. What else? At Christian Perspective 101. Anyway, you'll see all these handles on at Echaminya. So that's the main one if you want to catch up. That's stuff.
I'll put links for them so that they can just like click to whatever they want to go and see Echa's design and work.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thank you for your time. Thank you for all the detailed stories, all the master classes you've given us.
Masterclass.
During this interview. Yeah, this was fun. Thank you for coming to the podcast.
Yeah, by the way, one of these days, like that's actually a future plan.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be hearing, my name is Echaminya, and this is my masterclass. That's
yes, exactly.
That's a future plan. So, but for now, step by step, too. Can't do everything in one day.
Yeah, they'll share this is the preview.
This is the preview, yeah. Anyway,
it's the preview for the big things.
Previously on Alleluia. And then here, my name is Alison Kelly.
Anyway.
Yeah, thank you for hosting. It's been a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. This has been Uncurated Podcast. We will be uploading a new episode every week. So follow our Instagram page, uncurated.podcast, for updates and more fun creative content. Enjoy the rest of your week.